You're listening to Vatican Radio. The head of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, Archbishop Vincent Nicholls, is presiding at a Mass in London's Westminster Cathedral on Friday to pray for all those suffering the effects of the civil war in Syria. In a statement issued earlier in the week, all of the English and Welsh Church leaders call upon Catholics to pray for a peaceful solution to the conflict and to offer whatever practical support they can through aid agencies operating in the region. The bishops first appealed for solidarity with the people of Syria following their plenary meeting last autumn, asking the Catholic community to make December the 4th, feast day of St. John Damascene, a day of prayer for all those suffering from violence and injustice in the region. Since then, the conflict in Syria has intensified, with the death toll now reaching over 100,000. For further details, I spoke with Dr. Harry Hagopian, Middle East advisor to the bishops in England and Wales.
The crisis has very much worsened over the past 6 months, and at the moment we're at a very critical stage in Syria, more critical so because with what's happening in Egypt over the past 2 weeks, it's almost that we've forgotten about Syria in our instant memory kind of news gathering, but the situation is very bad. The number of deaths are well over 100,000. We've got well over 4 million people who are internally displaced in Syria, and over 1.5 million refugees in neighboring countries, of which the bulk is being borne by Lebanon and Jordan.
The bishops do, in their statement, acknowledge the complexity of the situation there in Syria and in the wider Middle East region, and yet they basically denounce the failure of political leaders to address this crisis cohesively.
There has been a total failure politically to deal with this crisis. What has happened over the 2+ years is that, unfortunately, ordinary Syrians, men, women and children, have actually had to bear the brunt of a failure of the political process, whether it's at the United Nations, whether it's at the European Community, or whether it's within the Middle East, North Africa region. And the result of that has been, as different countries have checkmated each other and we've faced one standoff after another, what has been is an increasingly worsening situation in the country, with Christians and Muslims of all communities suffering the consequences. And one tears one's hair when one thinks of all the misery and the suffering and the rubble and the devastation, some of what I've seen in terms of the damage in the country, the mind boggles.
In fact, the bishops draw attention, don't they, to the damage which goes beyond just those dead and injured, also talking about damage to infrastructure and Syria's priceless cultural heritage.
Of course it does. There are many, many movements at the moment. I mean, I know that UNESCO has been approached, other Muslim and Christian organizations. Organizations are thinking of all the sacred sites within Syria that have been damaged or even fully destroyed. And one of the main consequences of this ongoing conflict, call it a civil war, call it whatever you want, it doesn't really matter what label we give it, is the fact that the longer it takes, we are seeing an increase in sectarianism and an increase in extremism. And those two, once they manage to embed themselves in any society, Syria included, it's going to be so much more difficult later when the dust eventually settles, and it should settle eventually. It is going to be a very hard task getting rid of that and recapturing that sense of pluralism and acceptance that I've known so well and that Syrians are so famous for in the region.
In fact, the bishops draw attention to the postponed Geneva II summit, which should hopefully be working towards a ceasefire and some kind of solution. Is there any hope on the horizon amidst this very bleak picture?
At the moment, I can't really see any signs of hope, Philippa. It is unfortunate that even Geneva II has been mothballed to a large extent by all the political people I've been speaking to from different perspectives. For the very simple reason that it is impossible to have any kind of negotiation or discussion at the moment when both sides seem to think they can win, or when, as has happened in the last few weeks, President Bashar al-Assad thinks that he can actually win this war, and therefore there is no motivation for him to go to another Geneva II summit because he thinks he can do it on the ground and then dictate the terms himself. Now, first of all, that's not going to happen. Second, the amount of damage and destruction that he's wreaking upon society, Christians and Muslims alike. Don't forget, Aleppo has a huge Christian community of all confessions, Greek Orthodox, Catholic, Armenian. They're all feeling the pressure of it, but nobody seems able to do something, so much so that in my recent travel across the Middle East, North Africa region, I was told, you know what, Harry, the powers that can bring a solution don't seem to want a solution. That's where we are in terms of skepticism at the moment in the region itself.
In this very negative picture that we're painting, what are the bishops really asking people, Catholics in Britain, to do? Pray, undoubtedly, but also to offer practical support where they can. What can people do?
Well, prayer is one thing, and prayer is very important, but prayer should be proactive. I've always grown up in my own Christian faith thinking that we propose so that God disposes. And therefore, in terms of prayer, yes, all the peoples of Syria, no matter what their background, community or confession is, we should keep them in our minds today, as we should the citizens of the rest of the MENA region. But in addition to that, what the bishops have highlighted and what the president of the bishops' conference has highlighted is the humanitarian situation at the moment, which is increasingly perilous, because with all those refugees, with all those internally displaced people in the country and across the region, what is happening, first of all, in Syria is an increase in terms of hunger, increase in terms of epidemics, increase in terms of unemployment, lack of money, so people aren't even able to buy the most basic commodities that we would take for granted in the West, take bread and water and don't go beyond that. And of course, what is happening on the humanitarian level is that those refugees that are in Lebanon and Jordan, let alone in Turkey, Iraq and elsewhere, are straining the economy of the neighboring countries so much that if those countries also buckle under, then we have an even worse situation to deal with, and that is going to be Mission Impossible 2, forget Geneva 2.
So, in fact, the bishops are asking Catholics to really be aware of the plight of these people, to make it, as it were, as Pope Francis said in Lampedusa the other day, a thorn in their heart, and not just to turn away and forget about this terrible
absolutely,
situation.
Absolutely. You know, one of the consequences of this instant news 7/24 aspect is that we watch on our screens for 30 seconds about Syria, another 30 seconds about Egypt, then maybe 15 seconds about a car bomb explosion in Lebanon, and then we move to another continent and we forget about it. And we keep on watching those pictures so that eventually, after a few months, we get inured, we get immune to the human dimension of it. And I think what the bishops are trying to do is, when they ask for prayers, is to undergird the human dimension of this conflict and to remind people that this is not something happening on another planet, but something happening very close by, where human beings, some of whom share our own faith, are going through some very, very difficult circumstances, and we should try and keep them in our hearts and minds, but we should also try and help in as much as possible, whether by donating, whether by speaking out, or simply by being advocates and ambassadors for peace, as the Bible teaches us.
The Mass in Westminster Cathedral on Friday will be a very poignant reminder, won't it, about the importance of keeping these people in our prayers?
It will certainly be. I was there for the previous one. I was also there when we had a mass that, again, the president of the conference did for Iraqi Christians a while back. And the poignancy of it was almost electrifying, Philippa, in the sense that everybody suddenly realized, and there were lots of Middle Eastern Christians, Arab Christians largely, who were also there, and some of them were just crying. Why were they crying? They know that a mass is not going to redeem the situation or resolve the conflict, but they were crying because they were seeing somebody who cares. And one of the messages I keep getting from my travels across the region, people don't care, or at least that's what they think. So it is a reminder of where we are at the moment, and it is a reminder of our own duty to remember those people as part of the larger fellowship, which is why the Middle East Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches have both spoken out also about the Syria crisis, let alone the broader region, and they are as worried as we all are at where we're going and where we will actually end up.
Finally, Harry, the bishops in their statement mentioned the two Orthodox leaders who were kidnapped. Do we have any further details? Are they even still alive, do you think, these two church leaders?
Well, they are in our thoughts and in our prayers. I actually know one of the bishops, Archbishop Yohanna Ibrahim, quite well. I don't know the Greek Orthodox Bishop Yazici as well. But when I asked about them in my recent travels, Philippa, I was given the impression that they are alive. And hopefully they are so. But in the dust of confusion and warfare, and it literally is warfare with airplanes, with bombs, with tanks, with rockets, you would think that this is really a regional war taking place in a small country, relatively speaking. I was told that people who should know think that they're still alive, and that is one thing that we're keeping in our thoughts as well. But let me add something which I've said to the Conference of Bishops here, as I've said in the region itself. Those are two very important people, because they are people who represent two major Christian churches in the region. But there are only two people amongst tens of thousands of abductees and people who've disappeared. So whilst we should keep them in our minds, we should also remember that they're not the only two people who are out there suffering the consequences of what has become a geopolitical game between different countries.
Thanks there to Dr. Harry Hagopian, Middle East Advisor to the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.